Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Mem Dalad. We are on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, a little more than halfway down the Amud, picking up from the Gemaras that we saw yesterday. We're here in the fourth parak of Erevin, continuing our discussion of Tchum. When it comes to Tchum Shabbos, a person is going to be limited in terms of where he can walk on Shabbos, 2,000 Amud from his point of center. We already discussed this extensively back in the third parak. In the third parak, we focused on how to make the Erev Tchum. Here in the fourth parak, we're focusing more on the limits of Tchum. Person's taken out of Tchum. What happens to that person? What becomes that person vis-a-vis the area in which he can walk on Shabbos? The Mishnah here, and the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Erevin, back on Mem Amud Aleph, instructs us that if a person's taken out of Tchum, and even if he was taken out forcibly, he is at that point in time now going to be significantly restricted, and he can only walk 4 amos from the place that he finds himself to be outside of Tchum. If, however, he was forcibly put back into his Tchum, so then he's going to be returning back to his original Tchum. And then the Mishnah taught the following halachas. What if a person is taken outside of Tchum and he's placed into an enclosure? What then becomes of his status? So the opinions of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is that he is given the full enclosure, whereas opposed to the opinions of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva is that it's still, in that case, he only has Dalet Amos. And then the mission went on to tell the following stories regarding these Tanaim on a boat. There was an incident where they were coming from Palm Dawson, and the boat stopped at the port right before Shabbos, and then they didn't disembark. And then, as Shabbos started, so then the boat went off to sea, and they were now finding themselves outside of Tchum. So could they walk throughout the boat? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was of the opinion that they could, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, consistent with their position, was of the opinion that they cannot. We discussed those positions in more detail in yesterday's daf. The Mishnah then tells another story. There were also another story where they were on a boat. And Pam Acha says the Mishnah, I'm just going back to the Mishnah, reviewing the Mishnah, Lo nichnasu lanamel acha chashecha. So here, the boat was getting to port as Shabbos was beginning. They didn't make it there by the time Shabbos began. And so that means to say they were a little bit away from the port. And they turned to Rabbi Gamliel and they said to Rabbi Gamliel, what's going to be our story? Can we disembark? So Amar lo Rabbi Gamliel, ma anu le raid. So that was the question that was posed to Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Lahem, his response was, Mutar matem shekvar yisim estakel, v'ayin betoch atchum ad shalo hashchashecha. So Rabbi Gamliel says, yeah, I took a good look. And because I took a good look, so I saw that we were within the tchum of the port while Shabbos was entering. And so that means to say that our tchum went ahead and covered the area of the port, meaning our limits extended to the port. And so therefore, we're good. We were within 2,000 amas of the port. Good. That's all just about a review of the Mishnah. Remember yesterday we had a lengthy discussion. It was really most of yesterday's daf, and that is the question of, does Tchum exist above 10 Tfachim? We know Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't exist above 10 Tfachim. We know the same thing is true regarding Carmelis. The institution of Tchum, does it exist above 10 Tfachim? So this story over here would seem to weigh in on this discussion. This is all, I'm just reviewing what we saw yesterday. This seems to weigh in on the discussion because the boat's obviously on the water. The water's not the ground. The ground is the bed of the sea. And so presumably over here, that means to say that they were hovering above 10 Tfachim from the ground. And yet there was a consideration of Tchum. So that was the Gemara's discussion yesterday. And the Gemara said that's all true. But what's also possible is that the waters itself were very shallow and they were within 10 Tfachim of the ground. So there is no definitive proof whether or not Tchum does or does not exist above 10 Tfachim. Okay, we're going to spend a little bit of time now talking about Rabbi Gamliel and him taking a good look. They were on the boat. They were approaching the port. Shabbos was entering. They weren't there yet. What was the distance between the boat and the port? So Rabbi Gamliel says, I took a good look, and we were within 2,000 amos. Okay, so how did he take a good look? So that's where we're beginning today at the two dots, picking it up in the Gemara, Tanish Shvafer, Saisa Lo, Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel had a scope. Shayama bivitzofa ba'alpaim ama bi'abasha. And with it, he will look 2,000 amos to the land. Uchenek da'alpaim b'yam. And he saw that it was 2,000 to the ocean. Okay, so he had some sort of scope. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but Rashi over here somehow describes it like a telescope. in which the scope was narrow enough where it only allowed clarity up to 2,000 amos. That's Rashi's description of it. The Rambam, you read the Rambam in his Perusha Mishnayos, where he comments on the Mishnah, and you don't get that impression from the Rambam. Truth of the matter is that if you're looking through a telescope so you can see great distances, but can you actually make out what the distance is going to be? So probably, the Rambam, again, I encourage you to look at the Rambam inside, probably was something more like a protractor, in which basically there was a tall building at the seaport. The Rambam doesn't describe it in the detail that I am. I'm really just guessing, but as far as guesses are concerned, so he saw a building that was at the port. He knew the height of the building, and what he adjusted was the protractor, the scope, so to say, to figure out the angle. Basically, now if you're with me mathematically, that's great, and if not, that's also fine. So now basically the scope that he's looking through is really more like a protractor. It gives him the angle so that he knows now the height of the building. And he knows the angle of the protractor. And so now, with a little bit of geometry, so once you know the angle of the protractor, once you know the height of the building, so then you can figure out the distance. And if you're still with me mathematically, that would be describing the tangent. Okay, if you like that, fine. And if not, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Anyway, harosa leida kama umko shogei. If a person wants to know the depth of a valley, so maybe shofers, maybe ba, umebit ba, viada kama umko shogei. So then you can, you will know the depth of the valley. And again, same basic story, just a question of knowing the depth of the valley. Now, if you want to know the height of a tree, and Rashi describes over here that you really don't want to climb up the tree, you're afraid you're going to fall off the tree. Anyway, so you want to know the height, so what do you do? So, so the Gemara over here has a pretty bright way of figuring out the height of a tree, and that is by shadow. And that is, first you have to figure out what is the relationship between the shadow and the height. So in other words, take a look at your shadow. In other words, whatever time it is during the day, take a look at your shadow and look at the ratio of the height of the shadow to your height. And now measure the height of the shadow of the tree. And now working with that same ratio, you're going to figure out the height of the tree. Simple. Now let's say you don't want a wild animal to be in the shadow, in the shade of a grave. So in the graves, so there was height to the graves. In other words, they had some sort of edifice on top of the grave, some sort of mound. Maybe the Gemara over here is describing a matseva. Whatever the case is, so there was some height to the grave. Now, the concern they had back then is that as the sun rose in the morning, and you got to about the 10 o'clock hour, right, the fourth hour of the day, so sun started getting hot, and the shade at that point in time was still really cool. And what's going to happen now is that if you have a grave that produces this kind of shade, so it'll be a perfect place for a wild animal to try to get some shade, escape from the heat. Now, once he's there, so then he sees the remains of the body. He's going to dig up the body, and he's going to be menaval hamet. So he'll desecrate the body. So what you want to do is you want to create a scenario where there is no shade. How do you do that? So what you're going to do, the Gemara here gives the instructions, So what you're going to do is that you're going to stick a reed in the fourth hour of the day, meaning it's at that hour where the sun starts really getting hot. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Brachos, that gives more description to this idea that the fourth hour of the day, that's when the sun starts getting hot, but the shade still provides protection from that heat. Now you're going to know. You're going to know the angle at the 10 o'clock hour. So mashpiyav ola mashpiyav yari. Now what you're going to do is the following. So now with this matseva, so you're actually going to be providing a diagonal, a slant. In other words, you'll basically create a ledge that is going on a diagonal that basically is going to cut off all the shade. And in doing so now you basically cut off the shade. Animals are not going to be there, and there won't be any desecration of the mace. Okay. Again, the Gemara just went off on a small tangent. It started off with the scope of Rebbe Gamliel. And once we spoke about the scope of Rebbe Gamliel, so the Gemara thought it was a great opportunity to describe other ways of working out heights and angles. We're continuing the Gemara. We are on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and we find ourselves about 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and the rest of today's daf is all going to be covering basically one more topic. We get to a Mishnah. We'll start the Mishnah, Emir Tz Hashem. So Amale Rav Chisel Rav Nachman. So the Gemara, sorry, I did skip. Let me go back. Let's get the story from the beginning. Nechemet Bereid Rav Chanilai Mashachte Shmaitei V'Nafak Chutzutchom. Okay, so Nechemiah, son of Rav Chanilai, so he was engrossed in learning. And his head was totally absorbed in the learning, and it was Shabbos, and he was walking, and he finds himself now outside of Tchum. And now at this point in time, what's the halacha? So we know the halacha. We saw the Mishnah. The halacha is that now he's significantly restricted. He only has four amos. And so now he's stuck. For the remainder of Shabbos, now he's outside of Tchum, and he's stuck in that four amos outside of Tchum. Amalei Rav Chisel, Rav Nachman, Nechemet Tamidech Shari Betzar. So Rav Chisel reports to Rav Nachman on that Shabbos. So he says, your student Nechemiah. So he says, your student, he's in significant pain. So Rav Nachman now comes up with a creative solution, and that is create from a mechitza, create from a wall. Now, how do you create a wall? In other words, you're not allowed to build a wall on Shabbos. So what are you doing over here? So you're going to make a wall of people. And basically what you're going to do now, Rav Nachman's advice, is that you're going to put a perimeter of people around this person that was outside of Tchum. The obvious question, by the way, which is that if the people are all from the same location as this Nechemiah, so that means to say that their Tchum cannot allow them to go out to where Nechemiah finds himself now. So this advice of Rav Nachman must mean, and all this is Rashi, by the way, so Rav Nachman's advice must mean that you have to find a collection of people that are not sharing the same Tchum, but rather have a different Tchum and are allowed to go into the area that Nechemiah finds himself at that point in time. Anyway, so you're going to do is you're going to create a perimeter of people around Nechemiah. Now, basically, what you have is an enclosure. The wall is basically a wall of people. And now that he's an enclosure, so that enclosure now is going to allow him to go back into the Tchum. And once you go back into the Tchum, so that is now you are reestablishing your original Tchum on Shabbos, as we learned back in the Mishnah. So now this is an advice by Rav Nachman, and obviously it's extraordinarily creative, and it's a bit of a chiddush. And the Amoraim are all going to be discussing it, and that's what we're going to be doing for a good part of today's daf, and we're going to be discussing this psak of Rav Nachman. Yasser Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Achori de Rav Yasser Rav Kamei de Rav Nachman. So here we have the students in Shir. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak together with Rav. By the way, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, obviously somebody different than Rav Nachman. Meaning Rav Nachman, right, the husband of Yalta, brother-in-law to the Reish Galusa. We discuss him all the time. When Rav Nachman usually has opinion regarding din. Anyway, so it must be a different Rav Nachman. It's not the same as Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So anyway, the students of Rav Nachman Yitzchak and Rava were sitting in shir. They heard this what Rav Nachman said, and basically they're trying to figure out, is this something that we can actually subscribe to? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak le Rava Maika mi baile le Rav Chista. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says to Rava, so what was the question to Rav Chista? Meaning, if you remember back in the story, it was Rav Chista who reported to Rav Nachman, your student's in pain. And so Rav Chista, obviously, when asking Rav Nachman the question, so he didn't think that this was such a good idea, or there was something problematic about it. So, and so perhaps, what bothered Rav Chisla is the following. Look, there were plenty of people. In other words, creating a wall of people, the perimeter of people, there were ample number of people. And as far as Rav Chisla is concerned, his uncertainty was the following. As we discussed in yesterday's daf, and the daf before that, who does the halacha follow like in our Mishnah? Does it follow like Rabbi Gamliel, or does it follow like Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yoshua? Remember, you're taken out of Tchum and you find yourself in an enclosure. Are you given the total area of that enclosure? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said yes. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua said no. And a discussion yesterday's daf, who the halacha falls like. So maybe Rav Chista was unsure as to who the halacha falls like. So the Gemara says, O Dilma, that's one possibility. The other possibility is we're now on the top of Memdal Med Aleph, is O Dilma Budalo Malu Gavre Askinan. Maybe there weren't a lot of people over there. V'kami Baile Halacha Karebi Eliezer O In Halacha Karebi Eliezer. There wasn't ample number of people, meaning we weren't able to create a perimeter around the person that both encircled the person and was large enough that actually allowed him access into his original tchum. It only got him basically up to the tchum, but there wasn't enough to get him to the original tchum. Just short. How short? So as we're going to be seeing right now, about 2 amas short from the original tchum. And basically now the question is as follows. If you find yourself outside of your tchum, but you're really close. And when I say really close, let's quantify. We're talking about where you are two amos away from your original tchum. Can you just simply jump back into your tchum? Well, why? What would be the argument that you could do that? So as we know, once you're outside of tchum, so now you're afforded only four amos. Let's say that four amos is the total area. So that means that you're in the center of those four amos, which means to say that you are given actually two amos on every side. So once you are allowed two amos on every side, so maybe with those two amos, now you can go back to your tchum, and you can jump back into your tchum. And maybe the question over here is that something that we subscribe to? V'kami ba'ele, continuing the Gemara, v'kami ba'ele halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer, o in halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. What I just described is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and the question the Gemara has is, does it halacha in fact follow like Rabbi Eliezer? So, Rav Chista, when posing the question to Rav Nachman, what are we going to do about Nehemiah? So Rav Chista obviously had a suffix. And what exactly was the suffix? So the Gemara just expressed it in one of two ways, and the Gemara now clarifies. Pshita b'dolamalu gavri askinan. So the Gemara says, here's what's obvious. What's obvious is that the problem that Rav Chista encountered is that there weren't enough people. We could not create a wall of people that would be large enough that would reach back all the way to this Nehemiah's original tchum. It only got him right up to the tchum, only two amas away. That was the case over there. Because let's consider. Let's say there were enough people over there, and the perimeter was large enough where it got him back to his original tchum. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we already concluded, meaning go back to yesterday's daf. Rav taught us that the halachas are Rabbi Gamliel in the cases of deer, of sohar, of svina. So we know the halachas like Rabbi Gamliel in all different types of enclosures. So elavad b'dilo malu gavri askinon de Rabbi Lezer kami b'ilei. So the Gemara says, so what must be is that there weren't enough people, and the perimeter of people that was created around this Nehemiah was only big enough that it got him not into his original tchum, but right up to his tchum, two amas away, and then could he just simply make the jump? Videkanami. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, this is the correct way to understand it. Dekamerlei, because if you look carefully back at the story, so what was Rav Nachman's instructions? And you could reread it on the bottom of the previous Amud. Asalom mechitza shebene Adam viyikanes. So make a perimeter for this person and then allow him to come in. That last word, allow him to come in, what is that telling us? So Gemara reads it critically. So dekanami dekamerlei yikanes, my yikanes. What does that mean, yikanes? So la b'lo mechitza. It must mean that last little bit that he's going to be walking from the human wall into his original tchum, it must mean that there was a little bit of a gap between the two, and in order to jump the gap, that's the word yikanes. Good. So this is the Gemara's explanation of Rav Chista's safek and Rav Nachman's answer to the safek. Eisvei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava. So the students are still going back and forth. So here we have now the students still deliberating this psak that was offered by Rav Nachman. Again, not to confuse Rav Nachman and Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman was the one who gave the psak, and now the students, one of them being Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so he says to Rava, I'm really having a difficult time with this. The idea that we can make a wall based on just using a human body, that's very difficult. So let's consider the following. We're going to be seeing together a couple of brises. Brises number one. Nafal dofna. If its wall fell down, what wall are we talking about? Rashi says we're talking about the wall of the sukkah. So lo yamid ba adam behema vekelim velo yizkof es amita lefrosal es sadin lefishin osin oel arai betchila biyomto ve'in tzarech lamar b'shabbos. So the wall of the sukkah falls down, and now we don't have a sukkah, right? As we are going to be discussing extensively in the first and second prakim of sukkah. Sukkah needs three walls, right? Popular information. We all know this. So sukkah needs three walls, and one of the walls fell down. And so what you cannot do now in order to make this a good sukkah, you can't put a person over there, neither an animal, neither a kli. You can't overturn a bed, take a horizontal bed and put it up vertically. And then the bed is just a frame. So, and then what you're going to do is you're going to put a sheet on the bed. You can't do any of the above, because in doing so, you're making an ohel arai, you're making a temporary ohel. And you're doing so bitchila, meaning you're making it from the origination. Meaning this is not just simply being mosif, you are actually making a wall, which the Gemara over here is describing as an ohel. You can't do it on Yontif, you can't do it on Shabbos as well. And the Gemara says that if you can't do it on Yontif, for sure you can't do it on Shabbos. Shabbos is more chamer than Yontif. So, what you see over here in the Braisa is that the Braisa over here clearly rejects the idea of taking a person and using him as a makeshift wall. So Amar le Atamar la miha ve'ana amin alach miha. So he says back to him, okay, look, you have your brisa. Okay, I hear your brisa. Meanwhile, I have a brisa as well. My brisa reads as follows. So here in the second brisa, the brisa over here gives full clearance. A person can turn his friend into a wall. You talk about an excellent barometer of friendship. So that means to say that right now he doesn't have enough of a wall, and he turns to his friend and he says, "Look, I need you to stand right there." Perfect. So now you're able to eat and to drink and to sleep. Meaning, again, we're talking about the sukkah. And what you could also do is you could take a bed and put it on its end and put a sheet on the frame of the bed. So that means to say now that we're going to be able to provide shade. Now, tipo chama al hames. So over here, what would seem to be describing, I mean, it's more than seems to be, is that right now we need this wall because there's too much sun and there happens to be a mace right now. Okay, most unusual scenario over here, whatever the case is. And it's yontif, and you can't move the mace. And so let's say we want to provide shade for the mace, or in another scenario, there's food over there, and we want to provide shade for the food, whatever the case is. Okay, put the cases aside. You can make a makeshift wall. So over here, what do we have? A braisa that tells us that it is absolutely permitted. Now, what we really have is a stir between two braisas, meaning in the discussion now that the students of Rav Nachman are having as to whether or not you can make a wall using a human being. So over here, we just quoted one brisa that says you can't. We quoted another brisa that says that you can. So what we really have is a stir amongst the brisas. So now, as much as it's a discussion of Rav Nachman, it's really a discussion of how do you resolve these two brisas. So the Gemara is going to be spending the remainder of today's Amud, the Amud Aleph, and a little bit of the Amud Beis, attempting to try to give voice to how to resolve the difference between these two brisas. Lo kasha. The Gemara says the distinction to be made between these two brisas. So we're going to answer as follows. And we're going to give three suggestions. This is now suggestion number one. Ha Rebbe Elazar HaRabbanan. So maybe we're going to go back to Masechta Shabbos. At the end of Masechta Shabbos, we had a discussion over there towards the end of Masechta Shabbos. We had a discussion over there about making an OL on Shabbos and the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. And hopefully this will sound familiar. Did not we learn to the mission over there, Pekaka Chalon? We're talking about the shutter of the window, Rabbi Elazar, Bezman Shekashur V'Talui Pokim Bo, V'im Lavim Pokim Bo. Shitas Rabbi Elazar is that the only way you could put the shutter into the window, into the frame. Remember, their windows did not have panes of glass. Their windows were just simply openings in the house. And if you wanted to close it, you took a shutter and you put it right there in the frame. And Rabbi Elazar says the only way you could do that is only if the shutter is hanging and it's suspended, meaning it's already part and parcel of the structure of the building. Under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, can you do that. The Chachamim Amar Minkach Minkach Pokim Bo, and the Chachamim says, no, you cannot. I'm sorry, other way around. The Chachamim say, yes, you can. You can shutter, and even if you're picking the shutter up off the ground, you could do that. Although, if you remember the Gemara and Shabbos over there, Gemara and Shabbos had a lengthy discussion exactly what was the extent of the heter of the Chachamim. Anyway, but for our purposes right now, let's just say it's simple. You could take the shutter and you could put it over there. And so over here we have a machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim regarding whether or not you could make an oel on Shabbos. And Rav Elazar says you cannot. The Chachamim say you can. Right, I'm presenting the brisa right now at the simplest reading, which the Gemara in a moment is going to clarify. So right now what the Gemara is suggesting is the following, is that the two brisas are really riding on the machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. The first brisa that says that you cannot make a wall for the sukkah, so that's subscribing to the shita Rav Elazar. The second brisa that says that you can, that's subscribing to the shita of the Chachamim. The Gemara says all this is well and good, but this is not going to be a good explanation. The ha'itmar Allah. The Gemara says, let's go back to that Gemara Shabbos. Remember, we significantly limited the machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Amar Rabba Barbachan Amar Rav Yochanan Akol Modin Sheinosin Oel Arai B'Tchila B'Yom Tovein Tzarech Lomar B'Shabbos. So Rabba, in clarification of that machlokes Hatanaim, says that to make an ohel from the beginning, that is not up for debate. Everyone's in agreement that you're not allowed to do that. Lo Nechluku El Allah Hosif. Rabbi Elazar Amin Mosifim B'Yom Tovein Tzarech Lomar B'Shabbos Chachamim Omrim Mosifim B'Shabbos Vein Tzarech Lomar B'Yom Tov. The only discussion they're having, the only debate that stands between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, is being Mosif al ha'ohel. Can I add to an ohel, which means to say that we already have an ohel, and what I want to do is I want to add to the ohel. And that is the only point of debate and discussion. Over here, however, we're talking about where a wall of the sukkah fell. Without the wall of the sukkah, we simply do not have a sukkah. So now constructing that third wall would be tantamount to building an oel. That's not being mosif ala oel, that's actually building an oel. And so the Gemara says, so the machlokes Rav Elazar and the Chachamim really does not impact our discussion over here. So the Gemara says we got to move along. Before we do move along and go to a second suggestion, so I'll just note over here, a Shitas Rashi, that Rashi says consistently, Rashi happens not to say it over here in our Amud, but Rashi says that whenever describing an Ohel and this Isser of Binyan Ohel on Shabbos, so Rashi says that it's only a question of the roof, of the horizontal top. Rashi says that in terms of making the vertical walls, that's not subject to the Isser of Binyan Ohel. That sheet is Rashi. Rashi said that throughout Masechet Shabbos. You can see Tosfos over here, who picks up that our Gemara over here seems to clearly be having a discussion regarding the Isser of making an Ohel on Shabbos and on Yontov, and clearly we're talking about the vertical walls. So our Gemara over here certainly would be difficult for the pshat of Rashi. How would Rashi defend himself over here? That is a worthwhile endeavor. We're going to go on. I just want to raise awareness of this Shitas Rashi that we saw already a number of times back in Masechta Shabbos. We go now to the second suggestion of the Gemara. Again, one Brisa says that you're allowed. Sorry, let's go in order. The first Brisa says that you're not allowed to make a wall for that sukkah. Second Brisa says that you are. Now, really, the larger discussion we're having over here in Erevin is talking about the human wall. But in general, however, we do find ourselves having a stira between these two Brisas. How do we resolve the stira? Here's our second approach. Ela lo kasha ha karebi meir, ha karebi Yehuda detanya. So the Gemara over here says, machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda over the following. We're going back to Masechta Sukkah. Asala behema dofen lasukkah. So over here, let's say you need a wall, and you are right now find yourself in need of a third wall for your sukkah. There's the animal. How about using the animal as a wall? And by the way, this machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is not just limited to on sukkahs itself, meaning even before sukkahs. So you're going to park an animal, and the width of that animal and the height of the animal is basically going to be serving as a wall for the sukkah. Is that good or no good? Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says it's no good, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's good. Now, why does Rabbi Meir say it's no good? Interesting Rashi over here, short Rashi over here. Rashi writes over here that the reason behind Shitas Rabbi Meir that it says that it's posel is because we're afraid that the animal is going to run away. Meaning, obviously, you leashed up the animal. But still, a strong animal. Animal may end up running away. That's the Rashi over here. It's interesting Rashi, because when we go back to the Gemara and Sukkah, and it's going to be some time before we get to the Gemara and Sukkah here in the Daf, but when we get to the Gemara and Sukkah, we're going to see that the Gemara entertains other possibilities in terms of why Rav Meir's posel. Anyway, so the Gemara over here now has an interesting way to approach this, meaning the Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yehuda is going to be how to resolve the difference between the two brises. And the Gemara's approach is interesting. Rav Meir de Kapasel Hasam. Rav Meir, who over there says that it's Pasel, Amalo Mechitzahi. So that means that according to Rav Meir, it's not a wall. So Hachashari. So over here, it would be permitted. De Lav Midi Ka'avid, because you're not doing anything halachically. So that's a really interesting approach. So because Rav Meir says that it's not a wall, so therefore you're not violating the Isser of Asiyas Mechitza. And Rav Yehuda de Kamachshir. And Rav Yehuda says that it is a wall. The animal is a good wall. So how some over there in Sukkah, Ama Mechitza hi hach aser. So because he regards it as a Mechitza, now to make it on Yontif itself is going to be aser, because now you're making something that's halachically significant. Now, this is a really interesting approach. And the Gemara, in just a moment, is going to ask questions. Rashi says, you know, there's a really obvious question over here. You take a look at Rashi, Divrei Hamaskal, Lav Midi Ka'avid, and drop in the Rashi about halfway down, Va'akati tu Va'ikalim Ifrach. Rashi says, look, there really are questions you can ask over here, a lot of questions. Ikalim Ifrach Alam. Dehakadei Sheyochav Ishtav Yishan Katani, Amala Takna Lasukka Ka'asi Haparchina La Pirchi Tuve, Adem Afkina Le Mitaime. Now Rashi says the Gemara is going to ask other questions, but Rashi says, I don't understand. How could you say that I'm not doing anything over here? If you look back at the Brisa, the whole point of putting the wall over there is so that I can eat in the sukkah. So clearly over here, we're trying to make something halachically significant. So the argument of the Gemara is, well, you see, Rav Meir says that it's not really significant, so you're not really doing anything. And the Gemara's question is, what do you mean you're not doing anything? Of course you do. I'm sorry. Rashi says, of course you're doing something over here. You're trying to make a sukkah. You're trying to make a halachically viable sukkah. So it's a really, really difficult argument of the Gemara that the Gemara is trying to make over here. And Rashi says, look, anyway, we're going to reject it. But Rashi acknowledges that the obvious question, which the Gemara doesn't really seem to articulate, the obvious question is you're clearly trying to do something. Anyway, Vitisbra, the Gemara here, wonders, how could this possibly be the way to explain the two brises? So, Ema Deshamas Leila Rab Meir Behema, Adam Mekele Mishamas Leila. First of all, the Shita Rab Meir, that says that a wall of an animal is no good. That's talking about an animal. Would he say the same thing regarding Adam? Would he say the same thing regarding Kalim? And meanwhile, our discussion over here is not just limited to an animal. Our discussion over here is an animal, a human, a Kli. Look back at the Brisos. We're clearly talking about all those different types of either animal, a person, animal, or a Kli. So it's really difficult to insert Rami and Rabbi Yehuda who are only talking about an animal. That's question number one. The Su Rabbi Meir, Aliba Daman. And furthermore, let's try to understand Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, it says that on Yontif it would be fine because you're not really doing anything. What do you mean you're not doing anything? So E Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer Lahosif Nami Aser. Meaning if Rabbi Meir subscribes to the Shita Rabbi Lazar regarding Binyan Ol on Shabbos and Yontif. So Rabbi Eliezer, as we already just established, is the most stringent position. You can't even add on to an Ol. So Ella Aliba de Rabbanan. So you want to tell me that Rameer holds like the Chachamim? Meaning Rameer has to hold like somebody regarding making an Ol on Shabbos and Yantiv. So let's put him on the more lenient side. But the Gemara says, Emer Damer Rabbanan Lahosif Lichatchila Mi'amar. Yeah, but the Chachamim say that you can't add on to an Ol. Sorry, let me say that better. The Chachamim say that you can add on to an Ol, but to make an Ol Lichatchila on Shabbos and Yantiv, the Chachamim don't allow that. And the assumption over here is that you're making an Ol because without this animal, you're not going to have a sukkah. You're making an ohel. So we have now tried two times to explain the steer between the two brises. Here we are now in our third round. So both of the brises are holding the chachamim. The Gemara says now, as far as resolving the brises, so we're going to take it step by step. First, we're going to talk about the kalim. One brisa says that you cannot put up the kli. Another brisa says you can put up the kli. Lokasha. Habadof and shlishis. Habidofen Revius. Which wall of the sukkah are we talking about? Which wall of the sukkah came down? The first brisa we're talking about, the third wall of the sukkah came down. With the third wall of the sukkah having come down, we no longer have a sukkah. Sukkah of two walls is not a kosher sukkah. Now by putting up this third wall, you're making a sukkah. That's brisa number one. And in that, you cannot do that. That is binyan oel. And that's lechatchila. And that's brisa number one. And brisa number two is talking about the fourth wall. Sukkah already has three walls. Sukkah right now at this point in time is a good sukkah. And now what you wanted a fourth wall. Why do you want a fourth wall? Actually, if you go back to the brisa and you reread that second brisa, you want shade. It's mamash pshat in the brisa. So the kedei shelo tipo, I'm just rereading the brisa. Kedei shelo tipo chama ala meis v'ala ochlin. You just simply want shade. So it's clear now that the second brisa is talking about the fourth wall. The fourth wall, so that's not a CSOL. You have an OL. Sukkah only requires three walls. So now for the fourth wall, that's what you're allowed to do. So Habadof and Revius Dekanami Detani Nafadofna Shmamina. And the Gemara says, go back to that first brisa and critically read that first brisa. Nafal Dofna. Its wall fell down. Meaning where they're describing the wall of the sukkah. The Dofna is in the possessive. And that means to say that it's not just a wall, it's an essential wall. Now, for a sukkah, what's an essential wall? Wall number three. It goes without saying, wall numbers two and one are also essential. But in other words, but the thing that now literally makes or breaks the sukkah is going to be the third wall. So a critical reading of the brisa tells us that we're describing the third wall. So good. So now we resolve the two brisas, at least from the standpoint of kalim. So Ella Adam Adam Kasha, as we now are on the Amud Beis. Now, what about the differential in terms of people? One brisa says that you can the first brisa says you can't use a person. The second brisa says that you can use a person. So the Gemara says Adam Adam Nami Lo Kasha Kan Ladas Kan Shelo Midas. So the Gemara says using a person as a wall. And now finally we get to where we want to be, and that is it viable to use a person as a wall? Now We go back to the beginning of today's daf and go back to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman clearly was of the position, yes. Rav Nachman said that for that student of Nehemiah who found himself wandering outside of Tchom, so make for him a human wall, a perimeter of people. And that would be fine. So the Gemara now teaches us that's all well and good, but only if the person does not know that he's being used as a wall. Now, what's this distinction that the Gemara is making? That if you know you're being used as a wall, that's no good. If you don't know you're being used as a wall, that's fine. Rashi over here writes, Rashi, the last wide line, fourth line down in Rashi. Rashi ladas, sha'om eit sham yodea, shalashem mechitzahem duhu, so sham asr. The person knows that he's being used as a mechitza, then in that case it would be asr. And look at the contrasting Rashi, shalom ladas, mutter. But if the person does not know he's being used as a wall, so then it would be okay. So Rashi says this is not the way people build. And if the person does not know that he's being used as a wall, so the way Rashi describes it, it's not binyan. Right? This is not the normal way that binyan is done. And so for that, a person can be used as a wall. So, and Rashi says, now when it comes to a kli, so a kli does not have das. And so this distinction obviously does not work within a kli. Rashi finishes up. Rashi writes, "Av a kli derech binyan mekachi hilchach dofen shlishi sasser." So as far as the keli is concerned, we have to go back to the distinction we made in the bottom of the previous amud, which is third wall versus fourth wall. But when it comes to people, so by a person, you can make a mechitza, but with the proviso that the person himself does not know that he's being used as a wall. So the Gemara says, "Okay, so this distinction now is going to be a critical distinction in terms of when a person can and cannot be used as a wall." So the Gemara says, now let's go back to the original story. I don't understand, says the Gemara. We're back in the Gemara. And let me just reread the Gemara's distinction. Kan ladas, kan shlomi das. So the Gemara says, v'had de Rebbe Nechemya b'rei de Rebbe Chanelai ladasava. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The story with Rebbe Nechemya, so weren't those people used knowingly? So the Gemara says, shlomi dasava. The Gemara says, no, that wasn't the case. The case was that they were used unknowingly. Now, put this into practice. What did that mean? So it means it's a little bit odd, I admit, but it means that Rav Chisda said, guys, do me a favor. Can everyone gather around over here? Right? I want to show you something. And not telling them, not letting them know that he's using them as a wall. Okay, fine. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda mia l'das hava. So the Gemara says, now Rav Chisda was orchestrating this wall. Didn't he know? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Gemara says, yes, he did know. He was the one who organized it. So, l'das hava, Rav Chisda, shlom and aminyan hava. Rav Chisda did know. He was the organizer of this human wall, but he didn't participate in the human wall. So the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so, after all said and done, we've just learned a really interesting halacha. I don't know how much it can be put into practice. I imagine very little. But you can, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, make a human wall. But only under the provision that the people who are involved in making the wall don't know that they're being used as a wall. Hanu b'nei Ganana, the Gemara tells a couple of stories about human walls. Hanu b'nei Ganana, de'alu mayam mechitza shel b'nei Adam. So there were these farmers, gardeners, and they brought water in, and they used mechitza shel b'nei Adam, they used a human wall. Now, here they did so inappropriately, meaning they knew full well that the people there were being used as walls. Not Dina Shmuel. So, Amar im Amru Shalom Idas Yom Ladas. Now, Shmuel gave them Malkus. And we see this amongst the Amoraim, that when people flaunt the halacha, so they were given Malkus Mardus. And that's exactly what Shmuel did. He gave them Malkus. And he said, look, they really are not halachically sensitive enough to know the difference between whether the people were used willingly, not willingly. Shmuel says it's not a good practice for these people to use. They just don't have the proper halachic sensitivity. Hanu zika dahavishajan b'riskasa demechuza. There was these jugs that find themselves out in the street in Mechuza. Bahade da'ase Rava mipirka ailina niale. Now Rava came from Shir. Now Rava was swamped by people. So you had this mass of people around Rava as he was leaving Shir. And so now the swarm of people that were around basically now provided the human perimeter necessary. So now the jugs could be taken in from the Rishas HaRabim because there was a wall of people around these jugs. And again, they were not knowingly being used as walls. They were just simply flocking around Rava as he was leaving the shir. Perfect. So they made use of these people. And now the next Shabbos, yeah, the same thing occurred. But now the next Shabbos v'asar luhu. Rava says, no, you can't do it this next Shabbos. Why? Da'havale kaladas v'asar. Because now everyone understands that they're being used as a human wall. And again, this basic distinction that you can make a human wall, but only when the people making the wall do not know that they're actually being used to make a wall. Levi ala leitivna. Levi brought in grain using this human wall. Ziri as pasta. Ziri brought in some animal feed. Rav Shimi bar Chiya, Maya Rav Shimi bar Chiya used the human wall in order to bring in water. So as much as I said that the actual application of this halacha is going to probably be very impractical, the Gemara just gave us a flurry of stories where Amoraim actually used human walls. We continue in the Gemara. We're going to start the Mishnah and at least get ourselves grounded in the sugya, which is going to go well into tomorrow's daf. Mishiyatza b'rishur, somebody who leaves their tchumba, they do so with permission. What does that mean, with permission? Take a look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Kigon le'idus ha'chodesh. So, for a simple example, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah describe where you see the new moon and you're going to go to the Beis Din in Yerushalayim in order to tell them that you saw the new moon. And even though it's Shabbos, you're going to go, and even if it's Yontif, you're going to go. And now that's strange, by the way, but I could be describing Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's stick with Shabbos. Anyway, if it's Shabbos, you're going to go. And Rashi gives a couple of other examples. Olah hatzim and agayisim and anar. Rashi says, or let's say you are either saving yourself or somebody else from from an army, or somebody's drowning and you're running out to save that person. So you're saving somebody's life. Ochachamah baileleid, or you're a midwife and you're delivering a baby. So all these circumstances, now you left your tchum, and because you left your tchum, and you did so under license, so, mishiyatza b'rishuz, v'amr lo kvar nasa maisa, and now, you are en route, and then, you get the following information, and that is, you're not needed. So, yesh l'apayim am l'chol ruach, so you're given 2,000 amas in every direction. Now, where are you at this point in time? Stay tuned. Im haya b'socha tchum kila lo yatza. Now, here in the second clause in the Mishnah, if you were still within your original tchum, so it's as if you never left. Okay, now, in a moment, we're going to spend some time in that second clause, but let's go back now to the first clause. In the first clause, clearly, by contrast, so where are you now? Where do you find yourself? Outside of your original tchum. So you find yourself outside your original tchum. So what do we learn in the first Mishnah of this parak? That once you find yourself outside the original tchum, you are now restricted to 4 amos. Good. Now what we're learning, let's go back to the first clause of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what we're learning together is that if you are taken outside of your tchum, but you're not taken, you go outside your tchum and you're going so for good reason. Eidus HaChodesh, saving somebody's life, a midwife delivering a baby. So once you go out because you have license to do so, it's a mitzvah to do so. So now you are given in this new area 2,000 amas in every direction. The Chachamim now have given you a new set of tchum. Because what you're doing, obviously, is letova. You're doing something good. Now, here, in the second clause of the Mishnah, if you didn't end up leaving your tchum, meaning you were informed before you left your tchum, that you're not needed, so then you have your original tchum. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. If you didn't leave your tchum, isn't this point obvious? So the Gemara is going to ask that question. So, imaya besocha tchum ki'ilu lo yatza. Sorry, I reread that second clause. Third clause of the Mishnah. Anyone who goes out is allowed to come back. The Gemara is going to spend some time discussing that. So we're going to wait for the Gemara to discuss that. At this point in time, we don't understand what that means. The Gemara starts off the discussion. What does that mean? If you were within your tchum, you were leaving, you were en route, but then you were stopped because you weren't needed anymore. So it's as if you didn't leave your tchum. So the Gemara says, it's kind of obvious. So Amar Rabba Hachi Kamar, Imaya Besoch Tchum Shalo Ki'ilo Lo Yatza, Misoch Beso, Dami. So Rabba gives a simple pshat in the Mishnah, which is that as long as you're still within your Tchum, it's as if you never left your house. So the Gemara says, it's such a simple pshat in the Mishnah, it's too simple a pshat in the Mishnah. I don't understand. Pshita is in that point obvious. So Mao Detema Hova Akar Akar Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Havamina would have sounded like this. I might have thought that because now he understands that he has to now move locations, right? He got an emergency call. And now he understands that he has to move locations. Even though he's within his original tchum, one can make the argument that mentally he's gone. And because mentally he's gone, so wherever now he's informed that he's no longer needed, so that automatically resets his tchum to now the place that he's at right now. That's the Havamina. The Gemara says, okay, that's the Havamina. The Maskan is no. As long as he's informed while he's still within his original tchum, he gets to just basically keep his original tchum. Good. So one pshat in the Mishnah is that you didn't end up leaving your tchum. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya gives a different pshat in the Mishnah, first wide line on the Amud. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya Amar, Hachi Kamri, Mayu Tchumim, Shenasna Lo Chachamim, Muvlam Besocha Tchum Shaloki, Lo Yatsa Mitchumo. So here Rav Shimi gives a chiddush, and that is as follows. You were told an emergency is needed, you're needed. So you leave your tchum. Now, how far do you get? So you actually left your tchum, and now, while outside your tchum, you were then informed you're not needed anymore. Fine. Where do you find yourself? So you find yourself with your new tchum that was given to you, because remember, once you leave with permission, you're given a new tchum, with this new tchum that was given to you, so like a good Venn diagram, so you find yourself that this new tchum overlaps with the original tchum. Rav Shimi says that's pshat in our Mishnah. As long as your new tchum now overlaps with the original tchum, so that now allows you to walk back to your original tchum, and not only that, once you're back in your original tchum, so you reset with your original tchum. That's pshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kamif." Look at the Gemara says, "Okay, what's the machlokas over here between the Amoraim? Mar savar avlas tchumim. Mar savar avlas tchumim milsehi, or mar savar lav milsehi." So the Gemara says the difference between them is whether or not one can talk about this idea of havla'a. The idea of havla'a is the idea that one tchum gets absorbed in another tchum. Meaning when there are overlapping tchumim, does that afford you the opportunity to go back into your original tchum and reset with your original tchum? So the Gemara says that's an akudah machlokas between Rava and Rav Shimi. Rava obviously is of the position that you cannot do that. Once you leave your tchum, that's it. You cannot reset with the original tchum, even if the second tchum overlaps with the original tchum. And Rav Shimi says that you can. So the Gemara says that's a nekuda machlokes between them. We're going to pause over here. And tomorrow we're going to speak a little bit more about this idea of havla'a, when tchumim are overlapping one over the other. Let's quickly recap our day. We talked a little bit this morning about the scope of Rabbi Gamliel. As he was on the boat, he was able to look through a scope and see that the port was within 2,000 amos, so he told the other Tanaim that are on the boat with him, we're allowed to disembark. Okay, and the nature of the scope we spoke a little bit about this morning. The main part of today's daf was Rav Nachman's ruling of the human wall. There was a student who lost himself in his learning, went outside of Tchum, finds himself now to be stuck outside of Tchum. Is there anything you could do? Rav Nachman says, yes, you can create a human wall. Rav Nachman gave this psak, you're going to create a perimeter around this person with a human wall, allowing him now to walk within the entire perimeter as per the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel, and now he's allowed to be reintroduced back into his original tchum. Once you're in your original tchum, you reset with your original tchum. That is the ruling of Rav Nachman. And the entire discussion today revolved around this ruling of Rav Nachman. First of all, Rav Chista wasn't so sure, and Rav Chista says, I'm not sure if we could do this. What was the suffix of Rav Chista? So the Gemara discussed that. That took us to the top of Mem Dalamad Aleph. The students of Rav Nachman went back and forth on this, and they cited two brisas. One brisa says that you can't create a human wall for a sukkah. A second brisa says that you can create a human wall with a sukkah. And we had three different ways to explain the stira sabraisa. The first way is that maybe the brisas are hinging on the machlokas Rav Elazar and the Chachamim in the Mishnah in Shabbos regarding making an OL. The Gemara says no, because they're only debating being mosif ala OL, meaning you already have an OL, and you just want to add to the already existing OL. That's not our discussion over here. A second suggestion of the Gemara is that maybe it's hinging on the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda about using an animal for a wall for your sukkah. Rav Meir says you can't, Rav Yehuda says you can. Maybe that's the yishuv of the two brisas. The Gemara says that's also out of the question. First of all, they're only discussing animals. And meanwhile, the brisas were talking about Adam and Caleb as well. And secondly, we're talking about on Yontif itself. On Yontif itself, you're not allowed to make an OL. And the third approach, which the Gemara favors, is the difference between the third wall and the fourth wall. In the third wall, so we have in the third wall, that's Asiyas OL. The fourth wall, that's just for shade. And that would be fine. And as far as people are concerned, the distinction, the resolution between the two brisas is that when a person is being used lidas, knowing that he's being used as a wall, no good. When a person is used shalolidas, he doesn't know that he's being used as a wall, under those circumstances, it would be fine. And then the Gemara gave us a number of anecdotes of Amoraim using the human wall with this understanding, with this condition, that you can only use a human wall if the participants of the wall do not know that they're being used as a wall. Then we covered the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. The Mishnah says that if you leave your tchum, but you do so because you are you're en route to do a mitzvah, Eidus HaChodesh, saving somebody's life, delivering a baby. So then you are given a new set of tchum in the place in which you landed. If, let's say, you were informed while you were en route that you're not needed, so now you get to have your original tchum. And then the third line of the Mishnah is that anyone who goes is allowed to come back, and we're going to have to discuss that third line. We did discuss this morning the second line of the Mishnah, that if you are en route and you were told you weren't needed, so you get back to your original tchum. So we had two understandings of that second line of the Mishnah. One was Rabba. Rabba says that we're talking about where you didn't actually exit your tchum. I might have thought that still you're resetting your tchum. Chiddush is no, you're not. And Rosh Shimi gives a chiddush, and that is that if you're en route and you left your original tchum, but your new tchum that was given to you is overlapping on the original tchum, you're allowed to walk into your original tchum, because Rosh Shimi subscribes to Havlah. And when we begin tomorrow morning, we're going to be discussing in more detail the issue of Havlah.